Find our scripture reading this evening in Paul's letter to the Ephesians and at the second chapter, please. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and at the second chapter and reading at verse 12. Paul, in writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, is reminding them of the time when he came first to them preaching the gospel. And in verse 12 he says, that at that time ye were without Christ. That is, of course, evangelically speaking, they were without Christ as the sacrifice for their sins. They were without Christ as the living Savior of their souls. They were without Christ as the exalted Sovereign of their lives. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That is, nationally speaking, evangelically speaking, they were without Christ. Nationally speaking, they were outside the commonwealth of Israel, and they were aliens to all those covenants of promise that were given to God's elect people in the Old Testament. And then Paul went on saying that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God. That is, spiritually speaking, they were a godless people. Evangelically speaking, they were without Christ. Nationally speaking, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Spiritually speaking, they were without God. And humanly speaking, they had no hope in the world. Having no hope in the world. And I want to talk about sinners having no hope in the world, that is, humanly speaking. This book that we read out of, it paints pictures of sinners. In this very chapter it talks about these Ephesians before Paul came being dead in trespasses and in sins. And of course, being spiritually dead, humanly speaking, they had no hope in the world. You know, when we talk about being spiritually dead, we think about that tremendous old-fashioned text that hath not one word in it with more than four letters, so it's a very simple text. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There is not a word with more than four letters. You see, you could have many things tonight and not of real life. He that hath the Son hath life. And if you haven't put the arms of your faith round the Son of God who died and rose again and made him by faith personally your own Savior, then you have never tasted life. Oh, you may have an existence this evening may be a very wealthy existence. We read about the rich man who fared sumptuously every day and was clothed in fine linen. He had what you call a wealthy existence. But he had never tasted life. We see the prodigal leaving home and going to the far country and spending all that he had in riotous living. And we see him having what we call a worldly existence. Because you can have a wealthy existence and not have life. And you can have a worldly existence and not have life. And we think of Caiaphas, and we think of the dying thief, and we think of many more. And they had a wicked existence. But they had never tasted life. You see, when we talk about being spiritually dead, when we talk about he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, when we talk about people having no life, we imply that they need to be born again. We imply that they need new life from God. And remember, humanly speaking, you haven't a hope in the world of getting it. When we talk about being born again, this book talks about them who are born not of blood. You see, your father and mother can't give you this life that I'm talking about. They simply can't. You don't get new life through the bloodstream of your father and mother. Not God that way. This book says, those that are born again are not born of blood, neither of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You see, sometimes I take ministers to task, and I'm not a bit afraid to do it. They dip their fingers in water and sprinkle babies, and they say, I make thee an inheritor of the kingdom and a child of God. It's a lie from hell. You don't get life like that. It's not of man. You can't get it like that. If I thought people could get life like that, I'd take a bucket out and go round the town. And if you've been bluffed by such hypocritical, damnable heresies, it's a pity of you. You don't get life like that. Baptismal regeneration is from hell. You don't get born again of blood. And you don't get born again of the will of man. There is no man can set a date on the calendar for the day you'll be born again, but they do set a date for sprinkling babies. And they call it baptismal regeneration. And what is more, this book states that you're not born again of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh. He'll not just get born again when you take the notion, you know. I was preaching last week past, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday at Macrofelt, and there used to be an old godly elder there. He was a very dear man. I can remember when I went to that church first as a young fellow. You know, I could almost see the godliness that was about this man and within him. And he had a godless son. The old man used to pray for him in the prayer meeting and break down. And the old man's dead a few years ago, and I was making inquiries about his boy. I was asking a friend, Tom McClure, how this lad was doing. He said, he's dead. I said, was he ever born again? He said, no, he wasn't. He said, you know, just before his father died, he called him to the bedside and held on to him and said, and I'm using another name now, he said, John, you promised to meet me in heaven. He said, yes, Dad, I'll meet you in heaven, all right. And after the old man was gone, a lady who worked with so-called John said to him one morning, I think you promised to meet your dad in heaven, didn't you? He said, I did, and I will. I'll get this thing settled before I die. I know all about the gospel. I know all about Christ dying on the cross and rising again. When I get older, dear, I'll make a decision and I'll be starting then for heaven. 1 hour later, he fell dead at the machine. You won't do it when you like, you know. You'll do it when God calls you, or you'll miss it for all eternity. And remember, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. You see, friend, when you're dead in trespasses and in sins, humanly speaking, you have no hope in the world of getting life from men, or even parents, or ministers. Humanly speaking, you haven't a hope in the world. But when this book describes sinners, it not only talks about them being dead in trespasses and in sins, it talks about them being held captive by the devil at his will. Mind you, I think that this is something that many folks never really sit down to think about. That you're really the devil's captive this evening if you're without Christ. You know, George talked about the world calling him a fool. And of course, if you go out and out to live for Christ 24 hours of every day and mean it with your whole soul, then the world will call you a fool. You know the story of the old man in London with the billboard. And on this side, you know, as he met the crowds, it read, I'm a fool for Christ. Of course, people coming and reading the billboard as the old man passed by, they smiled. A fool for Christ. But when he went past on the other side of the billboard, as they turned round to watch him, it said, whose fool are you? Because you might be the devil's fool, you see. Maybe you're his prisoner this evening. Maybe you're held captive by the devil at his will. You see, if you're held captive by the devil and you're in this prison house of his this evening, in the kingdom of darkness, you haven't a hope in the world, humanly speaking, of getting out on your own. Having no hope in the world. And this book doesn't only describe sinners as being dead without real life. And it doesn't only describe sinners as being held captive by the devil. But it describes sinners as being totally depraved. So told depravity is a very tremendous doctrine. You see, dear unsaved friend, even your very understanding is darkened, this book says. And remember at this moment while I preach, the God of this world is blinding the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. And when you take blindness and deafness, when you take leprosy that covers the whole frame, when you take the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, when you take all the pictures in, you will begin to see, in a glance as it were, the total depravity of man. And Jesus Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I trust you see this evening, you know. A sinner is without life. A sinner is without liberty. He's a captive. A sinner is without light. He's in the dark. And remember this subtle old fool, or this Satan, this subtle old devil that continually dogs our steps. You know, he fights this the whole way. You know, when the good seed is sown, well, he tries to keep it from getting in. He blinds the mind lest the light of the gospel should get in. And then if it gets in, you know, he comes immediately and steals away the seed, lest men should believe and be saved. And even when it begins, as it were, to germinate, he hardens the ground. He tries to keep it out. He tries to keep it from getting in. He tries to keep it from getting up. He's working against this meeting now. But let me say this to you, that while a sinner without life has no hope in the world, humanly speaking, of getting it, and while a sinner held captive in the prison house of sin, humanly speaking, has no hope of getting out, and while a sinner totally depraved has no hope of getting light, that is, in himself, you know, thank God for this tremendous, old-fashioned gospel story that Cecil sang so well, every detail of it. How the Son of God left the heights of glory and was born of the Virgin. He came into this world, he cries, I am come that ye might have life. Oh, humanly speaking, you haven't a chance. But Christ came to give you life, give you new life, give you eternal life, give you life more abundant. And you know, it's wonderful that the very first message that Christ preached at Nazareth, when he took the book of Isaiah, and he preached from that wonderful portion where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath sent me to open the prison house to them that are bound. You see, Christ can make you free. Oh, he came to give us life, and he came to give us liberty. And you know, friends, he came as the light of the world. He came to lighten every man that cometh into the world. And you see, the things that, humanly speaking, we haven't a hope in the world of getting, life and liberty and light, they're all in their eternal abundance in Christ. There's life, and there's liberty, and there's light. You know, I can remember a character that I met when I was preaching once in Porto Volga. He's long since gone into eternity. His name was John Cairns. And he was known all through the village, and in the next one, Ballyhalbert, and the one beyond is Clochy, and down as far as Portaferry. Everybody knew he was never sober. You would find him on the roads, all friends at midday, absolutely staggering drunk. He would maybe go home and lie down and have a sleep, but he'd be drunk again by 7. And when the meeting would be getting out, you would find him lying on the roadside. Everybody knew. And I can remember one evening when I was preaching in the little fisherman's hall. I can remember the door opening and John Cairns coming in. He was nearly drunk. Staggered on down. One of the old fishermen, Tommy Heron, rose and got him by the arm and set him down in his seat. The place was packed, and he tiptoed on out to the back. And I went on preaching, and I can remember the text I was preaching. Christ died for the ungodly. And I can remember this man sitting on, and I remember him when everybody passed him by, he sat half drunk in the seat. And I went up the aisle and sat down beside him and said, John, what about it? And I always remember how he looked at me, and he said, Mr. Mullen, I'm away down deep in a horrible pit. I said, it's deeper and more horrible than you think it is. Because when you haven't a hope in the world of getting life, or getting liberty, or getting light, you're in a horrible pit, all right. And I said, did you know that the psalmist David used this term? He said, I think I do. I said, did you know that he got out of it? I said, you know, John, Christ could take you out of this horrible pit. Christ could give you life that would really be life abundant this evening. I'll tell you this, Christ could give you liberty, and I mean liberty from the booze. He said, Mr. Mullen, I can't believe it. Like Thistle's first hymn, oh, that I could believe it's true. So I could see now that I must get light into this fellow somewhere. And I said to him, John, if I promised to meet you at your own home tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and give you a new Bible with 10-pound notes inside, would you expect me to keep my word? He said, Mr. Mullen, from what I hear about you in this village, you would keep your word. I said, if the Lord Jesus stood in this little hall and said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you think you could believe him? He said, I daren't say I couldn't believe him. I said, do you think if Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man open the door, I will come in? He said, you know, he has said these things. I said, John, he's saying them to you. You're in a horrible pit. You have no life. You have no liberty. You have no light. But light's beginning to come in now. He said, Mr. Mullen, if I get down on my knees and come to Christ, He can do nothing else but take me in and keep me in. The light was in. I said, what about the two of us getting on our knees and you putting it to the test? Do you ever kneel with a drunk man? Knelt down, put my arm up. I said, Christ came from heaven, John, to give you new life. Yes. Christ came to set you free. Yes. Christ came to give you life. Yes. Christ promises you that if you come to Him, He will in no wise for all eternity cast you off. I shall never forget this. I can hear him taking a big breath, lifting his head, holding the seat tight, saying, Lord Jesus, I'm in the depths of this horrible pit. You'll need to lift me out. Give me life. Give me liberty. I have already got the light. I know you'll do. Ask them round Portavogue. He was never drunk again. He belongs to the folk known as brethren. He's a man of God. He was gloriously saved. You in this meeting tonight, sit still. You in this meeting tonight, own up to it. You have no life. You haven't got Christ, so you haven't got life. You're not a free man tonight. You're the servant of sin and Satan. Is the light coming to you? Is the light of the gospel coming? Do you know that Christ came and died and rose again and promises you, if you come to Him tonight, I will in no wise cast out. You could be saved now, you know. Just where you sit, just as you are, without a single plea. But that His blood was shed for you, and that He's bid you come to Him. And you could finish it.